What is up, sports fans? It is another edition of the Between the Tackles podcast, Loaded Show, Joe Manish Burge. We got all the chairs full. It is championship weekend, a weekend that we wait for all season. Dude, to be honest, I like this division. I like the divisional weekend and the championship weekend. Sometimes it's almost better than the Super Bowl weekend because, like, especially if your team's playing, it's all about anticipation up until like 6 o'clock on Sunday. But like with the divisional weekend and the AFC in the championship weekend, it feels like there's football all over the place. I don't know about you guys.
I'm the same way. Like, obviously, we love the Super Bowl, but you know, as the season
the big
starts,
game. Sorry, Roger Goodell, if you're listening, come on the podcast.
As the season winds down, like, you think about it, we only have 3 games of football left in the NFL this season. And for me, like, that's kind of a somber feeling. Like, I love watching all the football, all of the games, you know, but at the end of the day, we're getting to the end of the season. I too like the conference championship, especially when my team's playing.
Yeah. Even though my team's not playing, the more games, the better. The Super Bowl, there's so much hype and anticipation and overanalysis. So, yeah, I definitely like these 2 weeks in the run-up to the Super Bowl better than the actual week or two leading up to the big game.
You've got all the other garbage. You got all the other garbage that comes with the Super Bowl, too.
Dude, they do like the, don't care about. The garbage that does come with the Super Bowl, it's the best, is the Puppy Bowl, though. So I always welcome the Puppy Bowl. But, dude, the red carpet, and then they do, like, 9 hours of pregame, too, and then the red car, like, it's, there's so much crap that goes along with it. But let's start breaking down these games. We'll start in the AFC. As a Pats fan, always look at it through that shaded blue lens. I don't think I'm as confident as the 31 other fans in the dude, I even work with a Broncos fan. He's like, dude, I didn't even want to talk about it. He goes, I'm not even jacked up for the game. They're almost resigned to it, to the fact. And what I say is, like, dude, we lost to Peyton Manning when he was throwing a gallon of paint, like I said last week. So I don't want to take it for the berth for granted. I still think it's going to be a hard-fought game, especially how the left side of the Patriots lines looked against excellent competition this year. So I think there's a couple of key matchups here that might dictate the game, but overall, hopefully the Patriots kind of just play their game and they don't shoot themselves in the foot like they have been doing versus the Texans and Chargers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you bring up the fact of the Denver Broncos defense against the Patriots offense. Like, the left side of that line, Will Campbell and Jared Wilson got cooked last week. It was bad against a Houston Texans defense, which we all know is, you know, very, very formidable. And the Denver Broncos are right there the same way. So, you know, I'm not as confident as a lot of people are either, but I also look at it like the Patriots really, need to win this game. Because if they don't, against a backup quarterback, one that they drafted, mind you, it's not going to be a good look for the Patriots to end their season at this point.
No more house money. It's not house money anymore.
It's not house money anymore.
You are a touchdown favorite in the AFC championship game. Go get it done.
Yeah, look, Joe, I probably initially echoed the sentiment of most of the people that you know in thinking that this was a laugher. And I think last weekend after the news came out that Bo Nix was out for the season with the broken ankle, I was pretty adamant about saying whoever won the Texans-Patriots game would go to the Super Bowl. And that very well still might be the case. This will be the 7th time in NFL history where a quarterback is making his starting debut in that season in the playoffs. In the previous 6 games, those quarterbacks lost 5 times. The only time that a backup came in for the first time as a starter in the postseason and won was probably before your time in the early 90s when Frank Reich rallied Buffalo to beat the Houston Oilers. That's how long ago they were the Houston
coach
Oilers.
Frank Reich?
It was Frank Reich, yeah. He beat the Houston Oilers in an unbelievable comeback. And it most recently happened, I believe, in 2020 with Taylor Heinicke. And typically, these guys do not ultimately win. And for Jared Stidham, you know, I know you had mentioned, Joe, a minute ago that the Patriots, they were road favorites in a conference title game against Peyton Manning and a washed-up Peyton Manning, which is fine, but still – Peyton Manning. Jared Stidham is a player who's only had 4 starts in 7 seasons. He has not thrown a pass in a regular season game in 2 years, January of 2024. So It's going to be a tall order. Obviously, we can get into the other side of the ball because that's going to be Denver's best hope, their defense. But I don't think that Jared Stidham is going to beat the Patriots, even if the Broncos somehow beat the Patriots. I think it's going to be a defensive-driven game. And the other element of this all is that Josh McDaniels has intel on this player because he had him in New England and he had him in Vegas. So he knows what could work and what his deficiencies are. So, again, I don't think you can expect miracles from Jared Stidham. And if you're Sean Payton, frankly, you just don't want him to have a C.J. Stroud type of performance. If he can play somewhat competent football, the Broncos will have a chance.
Well, just back up to the point right before you ended there, Manish, with how the Broncos could win the game. I think the most probable way the Broncos win this game is if the Patriots lose it, per se. I think the Patriots have the biggest competition the Patriots have in this game is going to be themselves. I think I honestly think if that offense plays as sloppy as it did, even though they're one of the first teams to score, whatever, Drake May is the first person to throw three touchdown passes. Like, we watched the game. I watched the game. All that stuff doesn't really matter. But if you put the ball on the ground like that on the road, you're not going to get all those bounces. It's just luck does not work that way. You cannot play that way for three straight games against three straight top seven defenses and expect to come away with the win. And I think that's kind of what's driving my concern and why my thoughts off the top were more muted than I think a lot of other Pats fans. Oh, bro, it's just going to be another, yup, go here, we're back, bro. And it's like, dude, we have to, like, I really think this is the definition of a trap game, dude. You're going up against a team that's playing, it looks like a wounded duck. But, dude, when you look at it, dude, the Patriots, they've scored, what, four offensive touchdowns in two games? It's not like we're lighting the world on fire. So the Patriots really need to get back to the basics, ball security, tackling, and making sure that a team doesn't beat you. That a lesser team doesn't beat you.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Joe. One of the matchups that I'm looking to see, and hopefully that the Patriots defense can continue their dominance as what they've had in these first two games, is going up against that Denver offensive line. They got two Pro Bowlers on that offensive line. That line has been solid for Bo Nix this year. You know, another interesting caveat too, J.K. Dobbins may be back for this game. They did open his practice window from IR when they thought he was going to be done for the year. I think he's a pretty darn good running back, and Denver's really struggled without him in terms of running. R.J. Harvey has had some flash in the pan type plays, but he hasn't replicated what J.K. Dobbins did early in the season. So to see what the Patriots defense can do against that offensive line and potentially having J.K. Dobbins back in there is going to be something that obviously gives me a little bit of concern going into this game.
Not only are they two Pro Bowlers, dude, two All Pros on the offense, dude, left tackle and right guard, offensive All Pros, pretty impressive. Yeah.
And that is a stark difference from the offensive lines that they've seen in these first two matchups. They're not typically a good run team. Earlier in the season, when they had Dobbins, they were better. And Bo Nix kind of pads a little bit of those rushing stats with his own runs, but in games where the Broncos run for at least 120 yards, they are undefeated. They're 7-0. But just getting back a moment ago, Joe, to what you said about the Patriots and the turnover issues, as you said, the Patriots, I believe, have four touchdowns, offensive touchdowns in two games. That Drake May has more turnovers than offensive touchdowns in those two games. So he's been loose with the football, six fumbles, five turnovers in two games. He's playing against a defense that just came off the fifth most sacks in NFL history. So they're going to bring a lot of pressure, much like the Texans did. And you can't get sacked as much as May has gotten sacked to this point. And part of that, obviously, is on the offensive line. 10 sacks in two games, clearly not good enough. And the turnover issue, I know that people can sometimes oversimplify how important turnovers are, but the Broncos are 9-1. When they commit at least, or when they force at least one turnover. So, I think that it could be as simple as that. I think there is an X factor involved because Jared Stidham is the quarterback. So all of this, this history and these trends that you see have to be tempered by the fact that Stidham is under center for the first time this year. The other element that I thought was interesting, just going back to the AFC division round game, Josh Allen had so much difficulty throwing deep down the field. You know, much was made on about, you know, maybe some pass interference calls, whether a deep ball was a catch or an interception. But the bottom line is that the Broncos did not allow a completion of a Josh Allen ball that went 20 plus yards in the air. He was 0-for-9 with two interceptions. And that's part of Drake May's game. You know, he likes to push the ball down the field. So if he can't have success in that area against a very stout back end for Denver, it might be tougher than, you know, it seems upon first glance. And again, look, I think the Patriots are going to win. I love the plus five that the Broncos are getting because, you know, conventional wisdom is that this is going to be a blowout. I don't believe it's going to be a blowout. I think the Patriots will pull this out, but I think the defense that Denver has is just too good to get blown out unless the quarterback replicates what happened with the Texans last week. And I can't anticipate, you know, some kind of, you know, four interception in the first half type of performance, even from Jared Stidham.
Go ahead, Bridge.
I was just going to say, you got Sean Payton as the head coach there, an offensive mind, experienced in the playoffs, a little bit different than D'Amico Ryan's, you know, defensive minded that the Patriots saw in the divisional round. You know, I think that Sean Payton's going to have Stidham ready to go in this game. So like the quarterback thing and he isn't what drives my lack of confidence here. Obviously, I mean, Jared Stidham hasn't played, but when he has played in the, you know, going back to that game, I think it was the Raiders. He was with the Raiders when he had that last start and he was playing a pretty good San Francisco 49ers team in the regular season that year. And he actually had a really good game for the Raiders when that happened. So, you know, there's a chance. I mean, if the Patriots defense is asleep at the start, like they were quite a bit all season, luckily that hasn't been the case in recent memory. But if they end up coming in with one of those slow starts again and Denver gets out in front, now the Patriots are forced to have to air the ball out, like you said, Manish, and have to push the ball downfield to get kind of back into the game. The Patriots are going to be in trouble. And, you know, one thing we haven't mentioned yet either is the altitude. How is this team going to adjust to the altitude? They haven't played in Denver for a couple of years. I mean, most of these guys weren't even here the last time they had to play in Denver. So, like, the altitude is a big factor. And, frankly, it explains partially why the Patriots have not had success in the course of their franchise history going to Denver.
Yeah, they haven't won, right? They're 0-4 in Denver in the playoffs. I think what gives this team confidence, even though the altitude is something that they haven't dealt with this season, that they are undefeated on the road. So regardless of what the competition was, as a team, as a coaching staff, you are emboldened by the fact that you know that you can win away from Foxborough. There's also a weird quirk to this weekend. In 18 of the last 20 Super Bowls, at least one of the teams that played on Saturday on divisional round weekend advanced to the playoffs. So essentially that would be Denver or Seattle. So that's a 90% hit rate that either Seattle or Denver will make the Super Bowl. Again, you know, you take that for what it's worth. And when it's that overwhelming, you have to scratch your head and think that does one additional day of rest really make that much of a difference? You know, just something that I thought was odd because it wasn't as if it was 60 or 70% of the time. You know, 90% of the time, at least one of the two teams from the conferences make the playoffs when they played on Saturday and had that one day rest advantage over the opponent.
So I should rip up my Rams versus Pats futures ticket right now is what you're
doing. I mean, look, 10% of the time, you'd be right. So, I mean, anything's possible.
Oh, God. All right, let's get to the NFC game. I think this has a much better matchup, much better odds to be a compelling game. Seahawks versus Rams. Last time they matched up, it was that crazy ending with the fumble on the goal line. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I feel like that Charbonnet went down, but I think Kenneth Walker showed what he can do as a feature back. I think it's not a 16-game, 17-game season right now, so you really don't have to worry about him getting worn down over the season. I think they did a good job keeping both of those guys fresh until the end of the season. So I think, I don't know, this guy, hopefully this is like classic, like unstoppable force meets a movable object game, and we get a classic on Sunday night.
I mean, that's what I'm hoping for, because looking at trying to pick who wins this game is very difficult for me. You know, we were so high on the Rams all season. They were atop our power rankings for so many weeks in a row. And I was down on the Seahawks most of the season, and they proved me very wrong. They look like a force to be reckoned with. I will say
high on the Rams until they hashtag got pounded. You know what I mean? Because go Panthers, dude.
That's true.
That's great. You always got to throw that in there. I love it.
I love the Panthers, dude.
You know, home field is significant here. I feel Seattle is such a difficult place to play. It's been that way for decades, for a long time, for however long they've been up there, and I don't know. It's a loud stadium. I remember 10 years ago when the Patriots, were going up against them in the Super Bowl, watching those previous playoff games and seeing how loud that 12th man really gets. And the way that defense has been,
they designed their stadium to be that way. Like that new stadium, they made it steeper, closer to the field, and they pitched the roof in a certain way where it got the best acoustics. Like, I just love how they do it. And even Kraft went on the radio. Did you hear Kraft on the radio today about how saying playing outdoors is something New England will always do? Having the fans is such an advantage. Like that, I feel when you get to this time of year, going to Seattle is one of those places where you do not want to play. Like, I'm sorry to jump in there, but I think that's such a good point. I think that should be the major talking point about Seattle. Not only are they one of the supremely talented teams, but going up there at a night game when it's all eyes on you, that could be extremely intimidating.
Absolutely. And couple that with a defense that is playing outstanding, that feeds off that noise, feeds off that energy going in that atmosphere. And so, it's hard for me to pick against the home team in this game. I know the Rams have, Sean McVay and the presumptive MVP and Matthew Stafford, Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua, you name it. They have it. Their defense is pretty darn good too. Looking at how things went in the divisional round against the Bears, granted there was some weather involved there. Sean McVay's game plan was pretty off there. I don't expect him to make the same mistake again. Especially playing a team that he is very familiar with. This will be the third matchup between these two teams, and it's hard for me to pick against the home team if I'm going to have to make a selection. Like, gun to my head, you got to make me pick. It's a draw. I'm taking the home team.
Yeah, Sean McVay, by the way, will celebrate his 40th birthday on Saturday. 10 postseason wins, more than twice as much as anyone who's under 40, which is remarkable when you think about it. But look, it's strength on strength. It's the number one scoring offense versus the number one scoring defense. It's the first time that's happened in a conference title game since 2014 when the Seahawks played the Packers. Ironically, or coincidentally, I should say, that was the year that Aaron Rodgers won the MVP, much like it seems like Matthew Stafford's going to win the MVP. And in that game, the number one defense, scoring defense, prevailed. And I think if you look at history in the Super Bowl era, this will be the ninth time that the number one scoring offense plays the number one scoring defense in the conference title game or the Super Bowl. And in those previous eight games, the number one scoring defense won seven times. So that kind of adds to the lore of defense wins championships. So, and Seattle has the one-day rest advantage, as we said. All that being said, I'm going to buck the trend here. I know Seattle has looked unbelievable defensively for the large part of this season, but the Rams did have nearly 600 yards of total offense in that loss a few weeks ago, and Matthew Stafford threw for over 450 yards. I think that was the game that Puka Nacua went for over 200 yards. I don't think they're going to be stopped offensively. I was shocked that the Bears slowed them down in the snow last week. I don't think you're going to see a repeat of that. I think that the Rams will be able to move the ball. For me, I look at this game much like I mentioned earlier about turnovers. Sam Darnold has the most turnovers by any player in the NFL this season with 20. I think he had 14 picks, 6 lost fumbles. And it's pretty simple. If you look at the blueprint for Seattle, they have 3 losses this season. And in all 3 of those games, they had multiple turnovers. So if the Rams can turn over Seattle at least twice, it doesn't bode well for Seattle. Again, I know what history says about great defenses beating great offenses in these moments, but I just have so much belief from the beginning of the season and even weathering that shaky December, I've got so much belief in Sean McVay and that offense that I getting points in a playoff game, I think it's, 2.5? Even though it's in a tough environment in Seattle, I will definitely take the points. I think that the Rams are going to win outright.
Yeah, and I think this all, I think putting the ball in Sam Darnold's hands repeatedly is what the Rams have to do. I think that's the formula, right? Like, you look at, like, last week, they score 41 points, bunch of turnovers. Sam Darnold only attempts 17 passes. Like, yeah. I think you really have to put the ball in his hands and make him beat you, make him make, like, make him make tight window throws over and over and over again. Whatever it takes to put the ball in Sam Darnold's hand, I think is what you have to do to win this game. And I want to say, dude, I want to say that, like, that offense travels and stuff like that. It's just like, I don't know. This strikes me as a game that could, like, we could be hyping it up as, like, an unbelievable, like 50 to 45, 50 point game, like something like that. I really think that, like, this has the possibility to be, like, maybe not a turnover fest like the Pats Texans game came into, but a lot more of a conservative game based on, like, what the quarterbacks have a tendency of doing. Like, there's a couple of games this year where Matt Stafford had multiple picks. You know what I mean? Those Panthers games. I think there was another game we had multiple picks. They kind of come in bunches for both of those guys. And I don't know. It just strikes me as a situation that might kind of induce, like, something like that happening for those guys.
Yeah, look, it's been a shaky playoff run here for Stafford. He has the worst passer rating of any quarterback in the playoffs. So even though I believe he's going to win MVP, he hasn't been at his best these past couple of weeks. That's not to say that he can't turn it around, but yeah, it's been unusual to see him look unsure of himself, because he had looked so sure of himself for so long this season.
I wonder who's going to be doing the, is it, what do they have up there? A bell or a drum? What the heck do they have out there that they do?
They have a drum, I think.
Who's doing the drum? Yeah. That's what we should be basing our bets on.
Drum?
Is it a bell? We should be analyzing the game. We should be like, who's beating the effing drum? Let's pick off of that. Because, like, when, like, the Patriots have, like, a celebrity picker at home, they're like, oh, and whatever. Like, there's some stupid trend like that. Anyways, Burge, you have anything else to say on this game, bud?
No, man. I'm hoping just for a really good, entertaining NFC championship game, especially if the Patriots win against the Broncos. You know, let these two teams beat the crap out of each other, as far as I'm concerned.
Do you guys think Matt Stafford's a Hall of Famer regardless of how the season ends? Like, if his season ended right, if his career ended right now, you got to vote right now. You don't know if he's MVP. You don't know if he's going to the Super Bowl and winning. Is Matt Stafford a MVP? I mean, is a Hall of Famer in your eyes?
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, it's funny. He at least, well, like, his statistically, he piled up all these numbers in Detroit. He didn't win his first playoff game until he was 33 years old. And now he's going on a tear. And it's, I think Brady and Jim Plunkett are the only guys over age of 33 with more playoff wins over the age of 33 than Stafford. So he's had this resurgence, this renaissance since being traded with the Rams. And yeah, even if they lose in Seattle, the fact that he's won a Super Bowl, to me, coupled with the statistical milestones that he's hit throughout his career, makes him a Hall of Famer. Not a first ballot Hall of Famer, but, you know, I would be surprised if he didn't get in, like, if he retired, you know, Sunday night.
It'd be tough to, yeah. I always go back to the, I don't want to say it'd be tough to, but I think that if you told the story of football, you'd be missing a little bit if you didn't talk about Matt Stafford and his story from going from the Lions, getting traded to the Rams, winning a Super Bowl right away, putting them over the top. I think that's a pretty special story. You can tell the story. You can't really tell the story of the late 2010s into the 2020s without Matt Stafford, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been by far one of the top quarterbacks of this era. Like, he's right up there at the top. He's not at the top, but he's right in that ranking. So, like, you know, you got to always remember the time that he beat the Cleveland Browns with a dislocated shoulder or something
touchdown pass to win the game with a dislocated shoulder. Yeah. That's
just an absolutely gritty player and absolutely deserving of a Hall of Fame spot, win or lose.
Yeah. And I got a stat that is going to surprise a lot of people, probably because nobody, you know, really cares, but I'm getting a little religious on you. In the last 20 years, every year there's been a new Pope. The Seattle Seahawks have gone to the Super Bowl, 2005, 2013, and then now in 2025, obviously there was a new Pope. So that bodes well for Seattle. You get a new Pope, you see the white smoke, you know that the Seahawks are going to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Okay.
That's wild.
I'm definitely gonna have to remember that, dude. This Pope's a White Sox fan too, so there's something. There's something in there. There's some hidden message here. And Shiloh's older sister is a huge Seahawks fan. So hopefully I get to match up with her again, because when we matched up in 2014, it was fun going back and forth. But I'm excited for an action packed Sunday. If the Patriots don't win that game, nobody who is hearing my voice will ever hear from me again. Like, forever, dude.
Did you guys make a pick? It's Patriots -5. Are you taking the -5?
I think
I'm taking -5. I'm living and dying by it.
I'll take Patriots -5, and I'll take Rams plus the points in Seattle. I said it last week. I brought up the 17 pass stat. I got to stick to my guns. I got to stay consistent. I'm betting against – this isn't betting on the Rams. I'm betting against Sam Darnold.
Dude, I
do want to get my Sam Darnold position out there. It's been a remarkable turnaround for him, regardless of what happens against the Rams. The number, 3 overall pick, kind of put in a bad situation in a bad organization, then bounced around a little bit. Had a resurgence last year in Minnesota, but then didn't have his finest moments in crunch time. And now to get on the doorstep of a Super Bowl, I think it's great. I'm admittedly biased because I'm a Sam Darnold fan, and I have been dating back from when I saw his first practice in the NFL. There's been a lot of conversation the last couple of weeks about whether reporters should be rooting for teams or players. I think anybody who knows me knows that I've always been in Sam Darnold's corner. I've always hoped for the best for him. So I'm really happy that he's gotten to this point and now he's so close to getting to the Super Bowl. We'll see what happens against the Rams. But I just think that when you're talking about great stories in the NFL over the last 10 years, two guys really come to mind. They were in the same draft class. That's Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold.
And if he plays, dude, if he goes out there and throws for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns and shuts, I will gladly come on here and say I was wrong about Sam Darnold, because you are right. If there is somebody who deserves it out of that, out of the 4 people who are left, a guy who kind of made it from the mud, as the kids say these days, somebody like Sam Darnold, I think I agree, kind of deserved it and has earned it.
Absolutely.
All right, gentlemen, you guys want to get – you gave picks. Is everybody on the same train as me, the Pats minus the points and then taking the points with the Rams? No?
Taking the Broncos with the points, and I think the Pats will win the game, but I like the 5 points, and I am taking the Rams to win outright, yeah.
I wonder what percentage of championship games have been decided by 5 or more points. It's probably not that many, or not a high percentage. So that's probably a good math pick, as they say.
Well, I'm laying the points in both games. I'm taking the Pats and the Seahawks. So.
Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Noted Sam Darnold lover, Eric Burge.
Yes, yeah, dude. I guess I'm more of a Sam Darnold guy than Manish is over here. I mean, at least I'm riding with him.
No, I hope that if he wins, I will be very happy for him. I'm just such a big believer in the Rams offense, which really has nothing to do with Sam Darnold. I mean, I really think that the offense is so explosive. And look, if Darnold makes it to the Super Bowl against the Patriots, I mean, wouldn't that be an incredible story?
Yes, please. I'm okay with either of the matchups with the Patriots. They need to win this game, but the Patriots versus Darnold would be great. And then Patriots versus May versus Stafford, the 2 MVP candidates, that would be great as well. I think if you're listening, NFL, just saying that the storylines, if you get my boys in there, are going to be unbelievable. Whoever's writing the script this weekend. Yeah. So anyways, let's plug this thing up as Mr. Bears used to say. Let's plug this thing up. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.